So this morning, rather than reading all about the bodily discharges and mold rituals and regulations, I thought those of us who can see will read this together. It's a short reading, but it's a powerful reading. So let's read together from Leviticus. Leviticus 11, 44 to 45. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourselves unclean by any creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy, because I am holy. Yeah, amen. Exactly. And as you know, we follow the three C's. They are context, content, yeah. Contribution. 10 marks for you, Jerry. There. Well done. Good job. Yeah. And so when we look at scripture, you know, we can misinterpret it if we take it out of context. We are looking at, what does it actually say? Because it's amazing how sometimes we read scripture and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I didn't realize it actually said that. And then we are going to look at, well, what contribution does that make to our lives? And so the context, we are looking at 11 to 15 in the context, but really Maeve dealt with last week, well, the week before, chapter 11. So really our context today is chapters 12 to 15. And Leviticus is guiding us through. And if you remember just one thing, these four words would be great. It's guiding us through this process of repentance, forgiveness, purification, and restoration. It's not just sorry, Lord, and move on. There is a process. Do you remember when Jerry was playing God and throwing the ball to Hillary and Hillary was throwing back? It's a two-way relationship. We are saying, I'm sorry and forgive me. And he says, I forgive you and I will purify you and I will restore you. We need to wait for that to happen. It's a process of exchange. But remember, Leviticus is roughly the middle of the Torah. This is just the middle of our story. The beginning of our story, and this will make sense when we come to look at the passage, the beginning of our story is that once humanity lived with God. Remember, the beginning of our story is that humanity was naked and unashamed, no guilt, no shame. And we lived in a beautiful garden that God created where there was no sin, no death, no decay, no disease, no sickness, so that our holy God could walk with holy people. But as we know, that may be the beginning of the story, but not far into our story, humanity chose to disobey God. And we became unholy and sin entered this world. And this creates that separation, doesn't it, between humanity, unholy, and a holy God. And I don't need to tell you this, but now part of our story in this middle part of the story is that death, decay, disease, sickness are what we face in this fallen world. Leviticus is God's way. It's his teaching us to forgive, how to be purified, how to be restored, to be able to encounter his holy presence and power again. That to me is really good news. I don't think we need to tell people the bad news. I think we need to tell them the good news. Holy God, you can be holy. This is the way that we can actually encounter God once again. 41 times the word holy is used in Leviticus. So it clearly is a key theme. Remember, there's no underlining or bolding in Hebrew or Greek, but anything that's repeated said, this is a really important message. And so 41 times the word holy is used. And it is clearly the major theme. And it comes from Exodus. But remember, there are Old Testament principles that we carry forward to the New Testament if they follow into the New Testament. And so this idea of be holy as I am holy is both in Exodus 19:6, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But also Peter writes about this in 1 Peter, in his letter to the church. He says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you should be holy, for I am holy. Context, be holy as I am holy. Now, my prayer, especially as you do this in home groups, is that we do not get caught up in the rituals and the strangeness of these rituals that the whole group go through as a community. And we miss the beauty of this part, 12 to 15, is about the restoration. How do we restore you into holiness? How do we restore you able to come into the tent of meeting with God? The idea is this is how you have to be put outside the city, or this is how you separate yourself from God. But the whole point of 12 to 15 is how do we come back into a right relationship with God? And as I said at the beginning, we're going to look at the exciting topics of reproductive organ discharges, skin diseases, and mold. So in other words, in the content, I can't ignore these, but I do need to comment on them before we move to the contribution. What fun. So God created our reproductive organs for both pleasure and life. Fluids that come out of our bodies that do not create life are a reminder of the death brought in through the fall. Does that make sense? It's quite a key thing to understand. What are all these discharges? Why? Why are we unclean? Not unholy, not sinned, but why are we unclean? Because the Lord is saying, each time this happens, I want you to remember that as death has come from what could have produced life, you will remember that this came about because of the fall. It's a reminder that humanity is separate from God. It's a ritual to remind us that that is the case. Death is not part of God's original kingdom. And praise God, it's not part of the new heaven and new earth. So that's why it's a reminder of the fall. But there are ways to come back into that right relationship with God. And that's the point of the reproductive organs discharges, clean and unclean rules and regulations. What about skin diseases? I can't wait for heaven. I really can't. And I try to imagine the Garden of Eden, because in the Garden of Eden, there was no sickness. There was no decay of our bodies. Do you know what I mean? And each year as I get older and as I've moved into my next decade, as you know, I'm like, gosh, I'm decaying, you know, and I don't like decaying. And that's a result of the fall. That is not how God meant it to be. And I think that's good news again. You're not meant to decay. You're not meant to have disease. And that will be one day again. And it is the beginning and the end of our story. There was no sickness, disease, decay, or death in the Garden of Eden. And there won't be in the new heaven and earth. But in Leviticus and today, we are well aware that if you have a skin disease, and they call it leprosy, but it's any skin disease, you are to be set outside the camp because they don't want it passing on. Remember, in Leviticus, you've got this tent of meeting with the Holy of Holies in there and everyone's camped around. And I mean, we know for COVID that, you know, all you need to be is near somebody and you can pass on your sickness and disease. So unfortunately, these people had to be put outside the camp so it did not spread. But you will discover if you do, and I know Dave did, well done, read all of chapters 12 to 15, that at the end of each chapter, the Lord commands the process of how to become clean again, how to be restored back into the community, how to come into the tent of meeting and meet him again. And I think it must be amazing because it wasn't just, oh, as an individual, I'm put outside and I've got to wait until I've, you know, checked that I am not contagious. And then I need to follow all these purification rituals. But the community would be like, yay, daddy's home. Or yay, my sister's home. Do you know what I mean? They would like, brilliant. You've been outside the camp. You've not been able to be part of our community. It's the restoration into the community and with God again. God has set this up because he wants us to be restored. He wants us to be able to come into that tent of meeting place with him again. You see, every part of what God sets up in Leviticus is trying to tell the God story. And if you're here at the church meeting, hopefully you've got that in an elevator speech, I would call it, or a 2-minute speech that you're going to practice in your home groups this week, which is, this is the story, God's story. So that we can pass on this good news. It was fabulous. It's going to be even better. However, I don't need to tell you we're living in this part, but even better news, this is why Leviticus was the first book that they taught their children. We want to tell you the good news of how to be restored into a right relationship with God. Now, the purification process, we knew this was done for the priests, but it's also done when you come back into the camp. You already know that when a sacrifice is done, now as people come back in to be cleansed from their skin disease, they get blood and oil anointed on their earlobe, on their right. And you know, remember why it's the right ear, right hand, because the other one's used for something else, right hand and right foot. And so the idea is that this is a symbolism that you can once again come into the tent of meeting, you can hear God. It's a symbolism of everything that you do, you can do now to glorify God because you are clean, you are purified, you are restored. And everywhere you go, you'll be carrying the glory and holiness of God because I've put you back into that purified and restored relationship. So that explains the skin diseases and how you're purified and come back able into the camp and able to continue, I would call it frontline ministry from our beginning series. And then what about mold? I don't know if you've ever suffered with mold in your house, but mold is a fungus that grows in damp, decaying matter. So I was thinking about this. I hadn't thought about this before until I read these passages. Gosh, there was no mold in the Garden of Eden. There'll be no mold in heaven. Praise the Lord. All right. Disease and decay impact our homes and our garments. And the idea is, again, that if something that's like this affects our homes, affects our garments, this is a reminder that this is what sin, this is what evil does. It impacts every area of our life. We can't have, I'll just have this little one sin and it will just be kept in this box and I'll deal with it. You know, I'll work on that one. You can't do that because any sin, any evil, impacts our homes, it impacts everything that we do and are. And the whole point of getting rid of mold, again, is this process of restoring garments, restoring homes, purifying them again and cleansing them, reminding everybody this was what it was like in the Garden of Eden. It will be like that again, but in this moment in time, I'm giving you clear instructions of how to be restored into a holy and right relationship with me, how to be purified and restored. Phew, contribution. How does this actually bear any relationship to our lives today? And I think it does because it helps us understand this concept of holiness as individuals and as corporate people. We read at the beginning together, I am the Lord your God, consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. So is holiness something we can generate or create? See, if we think that if we follow this process, we will be holy, it can sometimes lead to pride and arrogance. I mean, I'm sure you've met the people who they have these rituals and regulations. It reminds me of the Pharisees. Do you know what I mean? We will follow these rules and regulations and it will make me holy. I just say, Lord, forgive me. I tick the box and on I go with my life. But that's not the process, remember. There's four steps to the process. And I think sometimes people, you can sort of see them ticking, I'm holy because I've said sorry. But we know that's not the process. Or you're looking around at other people and thinking, well, I'm certainly holier than that person because I've done this and this and I don't do that and that. And this is the thinking that comes from thinking we generate and can create our own holiness. But the other extreme, it's the same concept again, if we think we can create and generate our own holiness, is that when we do not measure up to the standards that either God has set up or we set ourselves, we get dispirited, depressed, or disappointed. And when we're trying to do it ourselves and we think, I've failed again, what's the point? We don't believe that we can come into God's presence. We don't believe that we are free from sin. We don't think we are worthy of God's presence and power. There's no way that I can tell others about God because I am a miserable sinner. But that's not what God calls us. So if we think we can generate or create holiness, it can lead to either pride, arrogance, I'm better than you, or it can lead to us giving up and doubting that we are holy. We are responsible to consecrate ourselves. That's our role in this. And you can't find it until Leviticus 20 because I had a look. Well, what do you actually mean by that? What is that process? So I've jumped ahead a bit. So Leviticus 20, 7 to 8 says, consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am the Lord your God. This is what consecration means. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy.
So consecration means keeping God's decrees. And what does God decree? That we deal with our sin and teach others to deal with their sin too. He decrees that we deal with our uncleanness from being in the world. Being holy does not mean we do not sin. It means we know how to deal with our sin. It means following God's decrees to daily repent, forgive, and receive God's forgiveness, purification, and restoration. Consecration means we obey what the Lord says. Does consecration make us holy? No, it is the Lord who sanctifies us, who makes us holy. We cannot purify ourselves or restore ourselves, but we can come to God and receive his forgiveness, his purification, his restoration to be holy as he is holy. So holiness is a gift from God. A gift we receive as we choose to obey and follow the rituals that God has set in place. The rituals of repentance, forgiveness, and receiving his purification and restoration into a right relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And today, this means that holiness is the gift we receive at salvation. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior through God's Holy Spirit, it's the process of having our ears, hands, and feet being purified by Jesus' blood, and our ears, our right hands, our feet, and our whole body anointed with the Holy Spirit. That makes us holy. We receive holiness as a gift from God when we repent and forgive others. So number one, holiness is a gift of God. Number two, holiness is something, though, that we cultivate. Just as we both receive salvation and we also work out our salvation, we receive holiness as a gift from God. And then we are to cultivate holiness in our lives through obedience to God's will and ways. As we cultivate holiness, we glorify God in all we do and say. And thirdly, holiness is the distinguishing mark of God's people. It's who we are. We are holy. And Paul summarizes, in fact, the whole of Leviticus in Romans 12, verse 1, where he knows his Torah, he knows his Old Testament, and he says, therefore, I urge you, in other words, this is so important, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. We know that from the beginning of Leviticus, we offer our whole selves as living sacrifice, holy. Now we know how to become holy through consecration and receiving the gift of holiness and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So let's conclude. Have you received the gift of holiness by accepting the sacrifice Jesus made for your sins and asked Jesus to be your savior, your rescuer from sin and death? Have you received the gift of holiness by accepting Jesus into every area of your life as your Lord and King? And have you welcomed the Holy Spirit to anoint you and empower you so that you can be holy and come into the holy presence of God? That is the process of salvation. And when we receive the gift of holiness. But we are to also cultivate holiness in our lives, being transformed daily to be more like our holy God, represented on earth by Jesus Christ. Are you cultivating holiness in your life by obeying God's decrees of consecration and his decrees of Great Commission and the Great Commandment? Are we with every part of our being loving God with our heart, soul, mind and strength? And from that love, are we loving others and ourselves? Have we received Jesus's authority that he's given to us? And then he says, now you've got my authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, just like they did the Leviticus children, teaching them to obey. In other words, to cultivate holiness, to obey everything I have commanded you. Individually, have we received the gift of holiness? Are we cultivating holiness? And then corporately, PBBC, are we listening to what God is saying to us and not just hearing, but putting it into practice? Not like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, but actually putting God's decrees, his will and ways into practice. What are you speaking to us? You know, a few weeks ago, God called us to be his holy priesthood in this world by coming together to listen and obey, to pray and intercede for this world, to serve and minister in our communities by being Jesus's hands, feet and voice, and to witness about Jesus. Are we putting into practice what the Lord is speaking to us to cultivate our holiness? We're going to finish today by putting into practice what Leviticus is teaching us to consecrate ourselves. Lord, we thank you that you have taught us this morning how to consecrate ourselves. And we thank you that you give us that gift of holiness. Holy Spirit, we invite you to convict us now. Lord, is there anything you want to bring to mind that we need to repent of? Lord, is there anything that we have not forgiven others for? Maybe we've taken offense or still are bitter or hurt by what they've said or done. Lord, we choose to forgive them this morning. We choose to forgive ourselves. We choose to forgive God if he's not answered our prayers in the way we wanted. Lord, thank you that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you will, just stretch out your hands to receive his cleansing and purification this morning. Just feel his holiness from your head to your toes. That gift of holiness, to be holy as he is holy. And in that place of holiness, wait and see what God wants to give you for restoration. He might give you a picture, a word, a gift. Just wait on him as he restores us this morning. Amen.